Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Beyond the Blinds. As always, it's me, Kelly Williams.
And Troy McKeady.
And you know, we have to remind you about live shows. We are starting in DC. Chicago is sold out officially. So thank you to Chicago. But we also have Philly, Atlanta. You know, Atlanta, you really wanted us to come. And we need ticket sales to reflect that.
Atlanta is not moving, okay? Units are not moving. And we need units to move in Atlanta, okay? And Atlanta did bully us into coming. Hello.
I know. Atlanta was like, you guys will have the best time ever. I'm like, listen, only like 50 people have bought tickets. So I will with those 50 people for sure.
And also, listen, even if it is a 50-person show, the more intimate, the better. We'll just move you up closer to the stage and we will literally give you an intimate VH1 like experience.
We'll dress in like velvet suits and sit on stools.
Yeah. It's only lit by candles.
We might sit on a lap. We don't know.
Right. There may be some special musical guests come out and do an acoustic.
But we hope to see you guys there. All the links are in the bio of our Instagram. As you can see by the title, this is about Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow.
And I'm very excited. We've been like kind of talking about doing this for a long time.
Me too. And Troy and I are seeing Miss Sheryl Crow this summer with Pink.
Oh my God. I thought you were going to say for a second with him.
Could you imagine?
I would actually die. Oh.
One thing I want to talk about before we even get into our opinions on Mr. Bob Kid Rock or Sheryl Crow, the fact that Kid Rock like cosplays poor. If you guys aren't aware, Kid Rock's dad owned a bunch of car dealerships and he grew up on a 6-acre estate in a home that's over 5,000 square foot and with its own apple orchard.
Yeah, I always say like he does drag. Like, he's a little drag king. He really is. Like the whole thing is just, and it's so crazy that he chose to cosplay as like this very, like he basically is like Bud from fucking Kill Bill. Like he's like cosplays as like this like dirty kind of like white trash whatever. And it's like, what? Like, it's just so, it's so odd.
It's so weird. And I remember his VH1, it was either like Diary on MTV or Behind the Music on VH1. And he talked about how he actually tried to become popular earlier, but he couldn't compete with Vanilla Ice.
Excuse me? Was he like rapping?
Yeah, he was rapping.
Oh, God, have mercy. See, this people like him, to me, just prove that like, even if you think that you're so highbrow in your music taste or like, you know, you look down on like pop or whatever, this man is just a drag king pop star. And the fact that he was a TRL staple just further proves my point. Like if you're standing there hosting a show with 98 degrees every week for years, girl, right?
That's so funny. And what's funny is like, you know, he's trying to rap, follow Vanilla Ice, but then he sees whatever like Limp Bizkit is up to. And he's like, actually, that's the lane I should go in.
Yeah, he's like, oh, dirty white boy rap. Oh, oh, okay.
Did you have any favorite Kid Rock songs, though?
I mean, aside from Picture, I honestly don't think so, unless maybe you jog my memory and there's one that I'm like, oh, that was a guilty pleasure, but
I have to say Cowboy. Like Cowboy to me is just a fun, silly, it's almost like campy kinda, and they always played it at the Coyote Ugly in Nashville and I was like, you know what, this song is fun.
That song is also very, to me it's very VH1 and very like of time, like it's like Gap commercial to me.
That's so funny. And before we break out into song, singing Picture by Sheryl and Kid Rock, I just want everyone to know that was Kid Rock's third single that entered the Billboard 100 chart, and it remains his highest charting single in the U.S., peaking at number 4 in 2003. But the song also charted on the Hot Country Song chart, peaking at 21. And I think that's what opened the door for like Nelly and Tim McGraw.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Because Picture was literally like, it was just one of those like song of the moment. It's everywhere. It's playing. And the fact that it was such a universal song, like it could play on country radio, it could play on pop radio, it could play on like alternative, like VH1 vibey kind of radio. And it didn't have age barriers, like young mm-hmm. people like that song, but also it was one of those songs where like older people would like rock their hips to it or whatever, you know. It was just really, it was a moment. Like Picture was a real moment. It almost kind of reminds me of, not that it's the same, but like when Gotye came out and everybody just like loved singing that back and forth, mm-hmm. you know, waiting for the guy part, waiting for the girl part, and like it being like a song of the summer. That was kind of like the vibe to me.
That is such a good comparison. Because even like when Picture comes on now, it's such a good song to hear. And I think that's one of those, if you're like me and want to take over a tune speak, if you put that on, people are going to sing to it.
Come back home.
I mean, we really didn't see the sunshine for 3 damn days in New York last week.
Well, wait, I have to know, are you a Cheryl fan?
So I am. Yeah, I will say as I got older, I like learned to appreciate her a lot more. Mm-hmm. My mom was not like a Sheryl Crow listener, so I only knew like Change and songs that were on the radio. Mm-hmm. But after watching her documentary, like she's just so cool. Mm-hmm. And she seems to be so unapologetically Sheryl Crow. Like, yeah. She doesn't want to be anyone else. She knows who she is. She knows who she wants to be. I do think she has a bad picker with like who she's trying to date. I'd also like to learn more about her and Laura Dern's friendship and living situation that they had after both of their breakups. But I do think Sheryl Crow is such like an icon for women in music.
You know how I feel about this woman. It's like almost hard to put. I don't even know if I can put it into words. She's one of the first people I remember like liking on my own. Like I was introduced to her by my grandmother who like loved Sheryl Crow and she like was really into her, but like I took a real genuine liking to her and just like ran with it. I was like, oh no, she's mine. Like I was obsessed. Her first and second album are my favorite. Tuesday Night Music Club and the Globe Session. I think the Globe Session is one of the best like rock albums of all time. And I'm always really fascinated by people who can occupy like every kind of genre.
Mm-hmm.
It's country, she's rock, like she's pop. She's like her own version of like a Shania or like a Taylor or something, you know, where like she's just like genreless. And I think that she's like a real rock star. And I think that if she was a man, she would have like a much bigger presence. Like people would talk about her more. Not to say that she's not she's obviously iconic, but she's not like brought up a lot when you talk about like respected musicians or, you know, guitarists or songwriters or, you know, whatever. I just think it's like she's very ignored. And I think it would be different if she was a guy.
Yeah, there wouldn't be like a Michelle Branch without her, Taylor yeah. Swift without Sheryl Crow. I completely agree with you. And I think it's so cool that she became like super popular in her 30s.
Yeah.
I really think that's a cool story that not many celebrities in general, male or female, can say. And like you said, like the way she's respected in music is something that's unfortunately like refreshing to see.
Yeah, it is. And I just, like you said, she's so unapologetically her. Like she really is just like, she is Sheryl fucking Crow 24/7, doesn't change, like has a chapel in her yard and lives in the woods and barely talks to the press. And she just seems super down to earth and like unfazed by being famous. Like she just seems like real chill.
What's your favorite Sheryl song? And I'm saying your top one song.
Probably Leaving Las Vegas.
Okay, that's such a good one.
Yeah, it's like I have a real emotional attachment to that song. And I also think like when I was little and I learned about all the drama with that song and her ex and like him unaliving himself and stuff. And like, that was my first like, oh, pop culture is like so cool. You know what I mean? Like, I really wanted to know more. And I've been obsessed with that story since I was a kid, basically. Like, I couldn't believe that it was real. And that more people didn't talk about it. So
You know, it's funny. I'm thinking about you bringing up how, like, she was your first artist that you felt like you found on your own. Her and Celine Dion, and like probably Whitney, I will say, are like the artists that I found. I was like, oh, I'm mature now. Like, I like this adult music.
You're like, this could never play on TRL.
No, I'm so above TRL right now. I'm VH1.
This could only play at noon on VH1.
And then, of course, there is an alleged romance between Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow. And I have truly never believed it. So in the blinds, it gets brought up. And I was like, oh, wait, that was real?
Yeah,
Like, I was so disgusted at the idea of like Sheryl Crow being with Kid Rock. I was like, oh, this is all fake. It's just for the song.
I know it makes me physically sick, but then I'm also like, it's so her vibe. Like, it's so she would be attracted to a man that does that kind of drag. They
Well,
probably shared clothes.
that's so funny. So all of those are opinions. Everything from here on out is alleged, and we start in 2000. This is from Jen Nevins BI. A change didn't do her good is the title of this blind item. Oh, the trials and tribulations of being a Hollywood couple. No one thought this pair would last, and of course they didn't, despite the volcanic. Nope, sorry, Devin, I'm going to re-say that. Despite the volcanic heat in the bedroom and the brave public faces they both wore. But some of us thought the younger of the two was only using the older one as a stepping stone and would ditch their partner as soon as better roles came in. That didn't turn out to be the case. No, what doomed these two was a plain old-fashioned wandering eye. It seems that the older introduced the younger to a friend. This didn't prove to be the addition of a friendship, but rather the subtraction of a relationship, as the quote friend proved to be a minus woman subtracting the younger away from the older. The sad part is the quote friend only wanted a meaningless fling, while the younger of the no longer a pair thought it was something meaningful. Now there are only two broken hearts and one smirking face. Well, I didn't expect a math problem, but the older face being Ellen DeGeneres, the younger being Anne Heche. So the smirking face being Gina Gershon and Sheryl Crow. So allegedly, Ellen did Anne, who did Gina, who did Owen Wilson, Sheryl's boyfriend, who did Sheryl, who did Anne.
Oh my Lord. I've always felt like Gina Gershon had really just like primal sexual lesbian energy. Like she is like just so fucking sexy and so hot and like has the coolest mouth and lips I've ever seen in my life. Like she acts with her lips and teeth, basically.
Completely agree with you.
So he jumped to 2001, and this is from Globe magazine. This hot female singer slash songwriter who comes across as straight is actually into beautiful young women. When she goes on tour or visits clubs, she has her assistant introduce her to sexy fans that invite, then she invites them back to her dressing room, where she has a bottle of expensive champagne waiting. After they've shared a few sips of bubbly, she makes her move. She hasn't come out of the closet yet, but her pals are trying to talk her out before someone spills the beans. Sheryl Crow just has lesbian energy. Like, I mean, hello. Like, I think,
I genuinely, and I know they're best friends, but I do feel like her and Laura Dern have the same exact energy. And I called it like kind of like how I said like Topanga. It's like that English teacher, like Miss Honey will help you, and if you're in like a bad family, will adopt you.
For sure. Like her vibe to me is very much like, yeah, I have been romantic with men. I've been in love with men, but like I also have had like great loves that have been women, you know?
Now we're in 2002, and this is from Another Babe Bites It. One wacky actress has a reputation for causing scenes wherever she goes, but her new musician boyfriend was so naive that he believed her when she told him that people make up nasty stories about her. They dated for a few months without incident. Then, at a party for his new video, she got drunk and accused one of the dancers of flirting with him. He tried to drag her away, but like she had done with other boyfriends in the past, she started screaming and biting him. He got so mad that he threw her out and asked her to keep out, which we did. What? Okay. But after a few days later, they were seen snuggling while having breakfast. Now she's telling friends that she's a new person and it will never happen again. His friends are taking bets on when the next scene will occur. And that's Pam Anderson and Kid Rock.
Pam and Kid is like, that was also unfortunately like a real moment. Like I'll never forget seeing the pictures of her on that boat. With the white wedding bikini and him and the champagne and just... Oh, I was like, God damn it, Pam. God damn it. I've always been really surprised by how, of all of her boyfriends, like, he seems to be the one that she says the nicest stuff about, that, like, he was really, really, you know, attached to her children. He was, like, a really, really good, like, pseudo stepdad, whatever you want to call it. And that he was, like, the nicest to her of any of her exes. She, like, calls him by his real name, obviously, but... I don't know. I've always been surprised by that.
Well, I actually knew people in Nashville who like would hang out at Kid Rock's house. I don't know if he was home, but they would all be like, Bob's so nice. Bob is so chill. And I'd be like, no, you need to say Kid Rock when you're addressing him.
It's so weird. Whenever Pam calls him Bob, I'm like, who? Well, you dated Billy Bob Thornton too? Jesus. We're now in 2006, and this is from Lainey Gossip. A tale of two grooms. Groom number one was recently married, publicly devoted, demon supposedly tucked away, and yet was seen driving his unmistakable vehicle into a hotel parking lot the other day. A hotel parking lot in his hometown, where his home is just a few minutes away. His wife was occupied in another state. There was no business meeting scheduled. There was no professional reason to be there. Yet, whatever could he have been up to? Then there's the friend, groom number two. Also recently wed, also known for hardcore hitting, the two shared one memorable evening just 1 year ago. Even after number one was claimed off the market, it was an evening involving multiple young ladies, a pool, naked swimming, a Hummer, and a long night of down-home loving. Okay? Two seasoned horn dogs feeding off of each other and off of Jim Beam, living the debaucherous life. It was a night to remember and perhaps the reason why number two's new wife curtailed their celebration, wary of what might happen should her husband be tempted by the high times of the past. Can these two grooms be tamed? The second, perhaps, but the first, no one thinks. No one at all. So, all that to say that Keith Urban and Kid Rock shared a debaucherous evening together, which included a pool, a Hummer, some young ladies, and debaucherousness.
I don't think people realize how much Keith Urban used to like truly party. He used to be fucked up all the time. Like he had to go on TRL and make an announcement about him cheating on Nicole Kidman.
Isn't he a sex addict?
I believe sex and like alcoholic and like all the addicts. I don't know. All the addictions.
I will say, I like Keith Urban. I just think that he seems like a really nice person.
I completely agree with you. And I think that's probably why we've held off on like a full Keith and Nicole episode.
No, for sure. Because there's, I mean, obviously there's like some weirdness going on there. Like, you know, that there's just something. They just give me weird vibes. But I don't know. Keith just always seems so kind. He was always so nice on American Idol and like, his hair, the whole thing, you know?
I was going to say, do you think these two met because they went to the same, like, highlighting specialist?
Yeah. He's like, I love your highlights, brother.
So we're now in 2007. This wedding ceremony loving musician was heard offering / willing to share / willing to watch his date for the evening to anyone who made a nice comment about her. So Kid Rock was like, oh, you like her? Do you want to fuck her? Well, I'll watch. I won't make it weird.
That he gives that, unfortunately. This is from 2008, and this is a Michael Musto blind. What heavy metal rocker, okay, just, Sorry. What heavy metal rocker stayed true to his taste by lodging at a glamorous Holiday Inn in New Jersey when he had business to do in New York? Ooh, that's so tawdry. He stayed in Jersey.
Gross.
God.
This singer/fighter didn't let a date stand in the way of him hitting on any woman he saw at last night's CMA show. He did it right in front of her, without her, and it all did no good. His bored-looking date still went home with him at the end of the night. And that's, I'm assuming, when Kid Rock came out with All Summer Long and he was, like, famous again.
Yeah, he was famous again. We're now in 2009. Which superstar couple's run supposedly ended when she gave him the gift of herpes? What kind of kinky activities were the male half of that duo into? Free answer. Okay. Fisting, to name just one earthly delight. Yes, hetero fisting. Jesus Christ. God, I always think that we said the most, like, insane, depraved thing, and then something like this pops up.
And I love when a blind's written like that. It's like, the straights are trying it too.
Yeah, I know. In 2009, that was pretty progressive. So that's to say that Pam Anderson was fisting Kid Rock.
So we have a female singer with many millions of albums sold who has always been in straight relationships. Oh, and it's not like her relationships have been quiet. There have been some really huge ones. People know who she dates. Never a hint or whisper of our singer ever being anything other than straight. Then comes along a C-list television and film actress. Everyone knows her name, and most of you have seen the television show she's been a regular on. What we've never done is see her with any guys. Oh, every now and then she might drag a guy to a premiere, but never anything serious. She's always been in one secret relationship with a woman on an ABC primetime show, and now she's committed, although in a secret relationship with our singer. Not a secret to their close friends, just to the rest of the outside world. It is leaking slowly, though, and will be sure to come out soon. So the singer, of course, being Sheryl Crow, and then the C-list television and film actress being Christiana Loken. That is very true. Like, all of Sheryl Crow's relationships have been wildly public. And I feel like her and Kate Hudson went through a phase where they just kept dating the same men.
Yeah, which is interesting because it's like Sheryl's so private, but her relationships have been, like, I don't think many people can, like, say much about her life, like her personal life, but they for sure can tell you who she's dated and when, you know, like her and Lance was like a whole thing. And for her to have been with him during his, like, Live Strong era, like, they were, like, really out there.
I know sometimes we like to talk to, like, younger listeners, but I'm curious. I think Live Strong bracelets are actually coming back, but people don't realize how hard they were to actually get. Like, ordering things offline in 2002 wasn't, like, the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah. And they were, I mean, they were a real flex. Like, they really, to have that yellow bracelet on, even if you weren't a runner or anything, was, like, such a flex. And then it led to, which we don't talk about very often, but it led to an era of rubber bracelets. Like, and not even the hookup ones. Not even the ones from Hot Topic that show if you gave a blowjob or got fingered or whatever. Like, just these thick rubber bracelets. Like, Nike started making them. And
I had Jack Vanek.
I loved them. I used to be obsessed. I was like, I'm supporting all of these causes. My arm is just rubber down to the elbow.
I remember the I Heart Boobies one so well. Like, everyone thought that was so funny. And they were like, and it's for breast cancer.
No, yeah, Livestrong was a whole fucking vibe. And I remember, like, that short period, like, where you could get them. Oh, I guess, like, after they got, like, really popular, like, when you didn't have to get them online anymore and they would just have them at, like, Finish Line. And you would go buy, like, 8 Livestrongs and be like, I'm set for the month. Got my jellies. So now in 2011, and this is a National Enquirer blind. Which former supermodel's friendship with her husband's single rock star pal is causing some major difficulties for the couple? the catwalk queen and mother of two, has been caught kissing the long-haired Grammy winner in the past, and recently the duo was spotted together on a romantic date in Malibu. So that's obviously the princess and prince of this fucking podcast at this point, Cindy Crawford or Randy Gerber. Oh my God, the thought of Cindy Crawford and Kid Rock.
Maybe that's why she wasn't so mad about like Pete Davidson and her daughter. She's like, listen, I cheated on your dad with Kid Rock.
She's like, I've dated my bad boy.
And it's just Kid Rock like, ball with the ball to bang.
She's like, I've been a rock star's girl.
This next blind is from Blind Gossip. She may be an aging diva, but this Grammy winner is still out there performing on a regular basis. During a recent concert, her boyfriend was right there in the third row, supposedly supporting her. Not. While she was belting her heart out on stage, he was offering his heart and other parts of his anatomy to a married woman in the audience. Poor Sheryl Crow.
We're now in 2012, and this is from BuzzPhoto. Which B/C-list singer/musician who writes her own songs recently came to the conclusion that because she has never really experienced a healthy relationship with a man, she might actually be gay? She's always had really close women friends who she bonds with, but her relationships with men always seem to go south, and she's never really felt that she's been in love. She decided to explore this new part of herself, and we'll see if any new relationships pop up in the news. So that's saying that it's either Sheryl or Kelly Clarkson. I think it's very clearly Sheryl. Sheryl gives me Tish Cyrus vibes.
Tish wishes.
Like, Tish to me feels like sometimes her style feels like modeled after Sheryl Crow or something.
Yeah, I think Tish would show up to like a Sheryl Crow lookalike contest.
Yeah. And she's like, I just love her. I don't know what it is.
I love smoking weed.
Joints, blunts, bongs.
So you guys know how much I love my pets, Jolene and Gail. They are like little children to me. I love them more than words can describe. And your pet is also one of a kind, and so is their journey. While every playful moment is a memory in the making, sometimes our cats and dogs are a little too good at getting into trouble. That's why you should check out ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during this time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/blinds. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/blinds. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/blinds. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
This week's episode is also sponsored by Storyworth. There are some stories about my mom that I truly never get tired of hearing. From hilarious to heartfelt, tear-jerking to plot-twisting, her retelling of events always brings me joy. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories from my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom for years to come. So here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved ones need to do is respond to the email with a story, long or short, it doesn't matter. You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's responses as they are submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know, or be surprised by stories that you never heard before. After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. You can even keep a copy of the book for yourself. So I talk about my mom a lot. She and I are always on the phone. We're always gabbing. We're always like kikiing and girl talking. And my mom is a really good storyteller. And we've experienced a lot of really insane things together because we kind of grew up together. And I'm not really like a keepsakey kind of gift person, but like this is something that I really love. I'm also like a hoarder of like photos and things like that. So this is really up my alley. Yeah, it's just fun. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/blinds. That's storyworth.com/blinds and save $10 on your first purchase.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios in Wondery comes the competition.
Host Shima Oliyei was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she is returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks of 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after?
Follow the competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of the competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So we're back with the blinds and we jump to 2013. I love hanging out with Blank because when he's around, I get some great pussy, really classy stuff, unlike when I usually get from my groupies. He and I have shared a lot over the years. B-plus list singer with A-list name recognition talking about how he can't wait to see the A-list celebrity this weekend. And that is Mr. Kid Rock with Tiger Woods.
You know, I will say Kid Rock has a real variety of friends. It's very unexpected.
All a bit rotted, but...
Right. Well, I guess Tiger isn't unexpected. I guess that's a friendship I could see. He's like, have you ever tried getting head while eating cereal and watching cartoons and being high? It's the greatest thing ever. This former A-list celebrity and still a good solid B-lister has been in the news recently and has shown that she is not much of a talker. That is probably a good thing considering she has been the other woman to this permanent B-list celebrity for the past decade. Yes, even when she was dating other men. So that's Cheryl. So what are they saying? I don't understand that blind.
So it's saying that she's allegedly hooking up with a B-list celebrity, but it doesn't say who the B-list celebrity is. It just says allegedly Sheryl Crow is helping somebody cheat.
Okay. Yeah. Get it, girl.
Which doesn't sound like any blind we've read so far.
Right.
This B-list celebrity slash singer is being paid a fortune to keep her mouth shut over events she knows happened with this former A-plus list celebrity. She's been paid so much money that she has not really had any desire to work. And also when she goes out, she's asked about the situation. So she just prefers to stay in and hide. And again, that Sheryl Crow with Lance Armstrong. I mean, finding out he did steroids was like finding out Tiger Woods cheated. Like, it was just hard.
I know. I mean, it was so like, just like the world was so devastated by the deceit and the lies. We are now in 2014. This former A-list entertainer slash singer will probably always have A-list name recognition, despite being linked with some of the biggest names in rock, and also a boyfriend who will have drama forever in his life. She has started hooking up again with the B-list multi-television actress who famously dated one woman, but has been with a string of men since. So the singer, of course, being Cheryl, the rock star boyfriends being Eric Clapton and Kid Rock, the drama boyfriend being Lance Armstrong, and the actress being Anne Heche. Wow.
I love when a blind light comes all the way back around.
I know.
This former A-list celebrity is world famous. If you want to talk about name recognition, it's A++. It does not mean he's universally liked or admired, though. In fact, he has a lot of haters. If they knew more about his personal life, they would dislike him even more. How about the girlfriend who he forced to lose 25 pounds even though she was already underweight? He said it didn't look right for him to have a fat girlfriend. Apparently, he doesn't see any issues with having a girlfriend who is slowly starving to death to keep him happy. He will never get married again because he says that girlfriends are hungrier and will do what you want because they always think there's a ring coming. Once they get the ring, he says they aren't worth shit. One celebrity girlfriend was promised a ring repeatedly and gave up her career for the guy. She had a great career and he refused to let her do anything but be with him. He said it was her job, and because he kept saying and promising they would get married, she agreed. When he found the woman half her age, he dumped her by text and told her that her things would be boxed and shipped to her home and that locks had already been changed. The guy is a tool who traps these girlfriends into horrible conditions and knows they won't leave him because he takes everything away so they can't be dependent. And that's alleging Lance Armstrong with Sheryl Crow. Lance Armstrong, if you're the reason we haven't gotten like new Sheryl Crow, fuck you.
Oh my God. And also him being like, I want you skinny, like psycho.
And she's so like petite to begin with.
I know. This is a kindness blind, and I guess we need it after that. This A-list singer who has a great name and a very hard partying reputation, which probably contributed to the demise of his one huge high-profile relationship, was confronted by a homeless person the other day who was running out in the street and yelling at people walking down the street. Our singer started talking to the guy and got him to sit down on a bus bench and then talk to the guy for an hour before finally giving him a few hundred bucks and a ride to a mission. That kind of sounds like him, I'll be honest.
I agree. And on this podcast, we try not to question many kindness blinds because we always need them when they pop up.
Right. You never question God's blessings.
This is a Mr. X blind. Which A-list multiple Grammy winner has been dropping hints that she's been hooking up with more girls lately than guys? And that's either Taylor Swift or Sheryl Crow.
We're now in 2015. This B-list country singer who got her start on a non-country reality show has a significant other, but she hooked up with her B-list singer with A-list name recognition X this past weekend. Not sure what women see in him. So that's Kelly Pickler hooking up with Kid Rock in 2015.
So what's really funny is Kathleen Madigan does this big skit because I guess she's done like a lot of USO tours. And she would always go on tour with Kelly Pickler and Kid Rock. And like she just talks about how weird it was. Like Kelly Pickler would be so scared of all the bombs in the distance for like good reason. And Kid Rock would like have to calm her down. And after that blind, I was like, interesting.
That is interesting.
We have another kindness blind. This rocker is B-plus list. He still has A-plus list name recognition in the same look for the past two decades. When our rocker was in town to see a sporting event, he stopped into a restaurant for some dinner. It turns out that night was also prom night with 100 couples all eating dinner. Our rocker not only paid for every single meal, he also got up on stage and performed a couple songs. Now, see, that blind, I'm kind of like, what restaurant was Kid Rock at? Was it like an Applebee's? Like, right. Where is this stage that he got to perform, I'm sure, Picture, among other songs?
Right. Was he at one of Shaq's TGI Fridays?
He was at a Taco Bell cantina.
Not anything wrong with this at all, but decided to make it a blind to make it more interesting. This married foreign-born B-list mostly movie actress, who is an Academy Award winner nominee and married to a permanent A-lister, was spotted outside an event with this A/B-list rocker smoking a couple of joints while the permanent A-lister was in his seat at the event. So that is alleging that Catherine Zeta-Jones smoked a joint with Kid Rock at the Jazz at Lincoln Center opens the Micah and Emmett Ertgun Atrium.
I want to smoke weed with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Me too. I would love that.
Honestly, I wouldn't have been able to stay with Michael Douglas after he said he got throat cancer from, like, cunnilingus. I'd be like, you can't say that about my vagina.
Honestly, I think that being romantic with an older in life Michael Douglas is already quite charitable when you're Catherine Zeta-Jones, I'll be honest.
So we're now in 2016. This married reality star turned celebrity turned reality star who makes most of her money doing that rather than as a singer she claims to be ended up hooking up with this country rocker slash rapper ex when he suffered a recent tragedy and she consoled him. So allegedly after Kid Rock's assistant passed away, Kelly Pickler consoled him again.
We're now in 2017. I'm not sure this back in the day A-list singer-songwriter who has not had a hit in over a decade will be going back to his annual concert event. The founder slash cranky permanent A-list singer told her to fuck off when she asked for an extra trailer. So, wait, so did Willie tell Cheryl to fuck off?
Or allegedly.
Okay, so Willie Nelson told Sheryl Crow to fuck off when she asked for an extra trailer at Farm Aid 2017.
He said it with like a giant blunt in between every finger.
When she knocks on the door, it opens and smoke billows out. That's what that picture.
Can I have another trailer? Fuck off. We jump to 2019. This CEO asked a celebrity customer to cover up a safety issue instead of making it public. He also probably has a collection of videos of customers having sex who didn't notice the video camera inside their car recording everything. Okay. So allegedly Sheryl Crow tweeted to Elon Musk because her Tesla gets stuck in a parking lot.
I mean, it happens to the best of us.
And Elon Musk said, shut the fuck up.
I hate when my Tesla gets stuck somewhere and I have to tweet Elon. Elon, can you get me out of this mess? We're now in 2020. This back in the day A-list female singer who had quite the run, who all of you know, threw some serious shade at the A-plus list singer in her personal battle with her former record company. The back in the day A-list singer was at an event and said the A-plus lister needed to grow up and stop living in a fantasy. So that is Sheryl Crow throwing shade at Taylor Swift in regards to Big Machine Records.
I mean, Sheryl Crow basically like had that happen to her early in her career. And yeah. I think like how things go about now is much different than the early 90s. And unfortunately, Sheryl Crow didn't have like the power of social media to be like, hey, the entire production team fucked me.
They were so horrible to her and they were so mean. Like when I don't remember what I talked about. Maybe I did a Sheryl episode of Dunzo or something, but I remember going back and reading just like the interviews with her band and stuff too. And they were literally like, they're like, oh, she couldn't sing. She couldn't do this. She couldn't do that. She wouldn't know how to strum a guitar without us. It's like, actually Eric Clapton taught her how to play guitar.
And she was a backup singer for Michael Jackson. So what are you talking about?
They were horrible. I've never, literally in my entire life, I've never seen people who worked on a project with like a famous person, especially an album, be so mean about the singer of the album and just saying that she was completely talentless and they had to do so many takes because she's not a real singer. I was just like, whoa, this is wild.
But who's still famous, boys?
Exactly. And had many albums after without you guys being involved.
And like her best albums.
For sure. Like her follow up to them. That's why I think the Globe Session is so great.
Yeah.
Fuck you to those guys. And it's better than the first album.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree with you. We're now in 2021. This former A-list singer has a very selective memory. Somehow she manages minute details about sexual harassment that didn't happen, but can't remember if she ever saw an athlete doping dozens of times despite living with him, and certainly has trouble recollecting, whether she had a relationship with this rapper slash country star who uses a stage name. So that's when Sheryl Crow started talking about like sexual harassment from Michael Jackson's manager. Yeah, she wants to talk about her story. She doesn't want to be like, yeah, I saw Lance taking steroids.
Why does she have to admit that he doped or whatever? Why does she have to, like, what? That's so weird.
Right. She's not the one controlling the Tour de France.
That was a very weird blind. This is a reader blind from a 90s limo driver. We have to remember to do that fucking limo driver episode. I'm going to write it down in my notes literally right now. I'm not kidding.
And if we have anyone who's like a driver, or, you know, we get some housekeeping stuff, please DM us either on Patreon or Instagram, because that would be like a super fun episode for us.
Oh my God. I know for sure that we do have a listener that used to message us that her dad was a limo driver in the 90s. I don't remember who it was, because I think it was a while ago. But if you're listening and your dad has any fun stories. Two blonde actresses stepped off the flight at LAX within moments of each. I'm like, immediately think of Miley. Within moments of each other, they were both considered bombshells during their careers. The first actress, Pamela Anderson, had at least two hit television shows, Baywatch and VIP, that went for years. And she was also known for her hard partying ways off screen and marrying rock stars like Tommy Lee and Kid Rock. The driver noted that the actress looked like she had been rode hard and put away wet. Her face was puffy in the sun, too much tequila, the cocaine, the Botox, and other plastic surgery had taken their toll. The driver decided that he would not have sex with her, even if she asked. The second actress, Bo Derek, was a bit older than the first and was mainly known for one movie, 10. She did when she was given a perfect number rating for her hotness. The driver noted that she still looked great. Her face looked naturally beautiful and she shined. The driver guessed that he would not kick her out of bed. Okay. Of course, the driver was standing there with a luggage cart, wearing a rumpled suit and holding a sign with someone's name on it. Not exactly too high up on the rating scale. That is so funny to be like, I don't think I'll fuck Pam if she comes on to me, sir.
I guess we also need to warn you, if your dad's stories are like that, we will likely make fun of it.
We will likely read him down.
Right, like, okay, driver, I'm sure Pam Anderson looked at you and was like, oh, I wish he would fuck me.
No, he won't.
And we jump to 2022, and this is the final blind item. Speaking of cheating, this back in the day A-plus list singer / songwriter / musician has been having a long time affair with a married man. And again, that just says Sheryl Crow. It does not say anything else.
Well, that wasn't so bad for her.
I agree.
I would definitely say that Sheryl Crow is not rotted.
And what's like funny about Kid Rock is, I don't think Kid Rock is like, I'm trying to say this the right way. I don't think he believes the bullshit that he spews. He just knows it gets people excited.
Yeah.
Because like you said, like, I've heard Kid Rock is actually a nice guy. Like, you can really have a conversation with him. But then you see, you know, he gets taken off to be the Grand Marshal of the Nashville Christmas Parade because he's spewing hate about like gay people and like Democrats.
Yeah, he's actually ironically like similar to Trump in that way, where like he just ignores people and he has this reputation of being like a dirty white boy or whatever, even though it's never been true. And what else is he going to do? Because nobody's like, the people that love him don't even listen to his music.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like now he's just like this, like literally a personality, and he ignites hillbillies into thinking that he's one of them, even though he probably wouldn't shit in the same toilet as you.
And he has his big ass bar right on Broadway in Nashville.
What's his bar called?
It's like the Big Ass Honky Tonk or something. Let me look it up, like the actual name.
Oh, God. It's like called Dirty White Boy.
It's called it's called Dirty White Boy. That's funny. It's called Kid Rock's Big Ass Honky Tonk Rock and Roll Steakhouse. That's another sponsor of this episode.
Not the Honky Tonk Steakhouse. Okay. I wasn't expecting it to be a steakhouse.
And like, I remember during COVID, he refused to do like protocols. He refused to like close early. And one time somebody took out their colonoscopy bag, whatever. and spun it around their head and like shit went flying. So if you go to Nashville, don't go to Kid Rock's big ass honky tonk rock and roll steakhouse.
You can find a steak somewhere else. That is literally insane. The thought of having to tell people, like if I went to Nashville, the thought of like having to tell people that I went to the honky tonk steakhouse, I'd be so embarrassed. I would be mortified. I would never tell anybody.
I went once, but it was just to meet up with a group and then we left. Like the second I got there, I'm like, there are more fun bars. We can go anywhere else.
You went and ordered a giant tomahawk steak.
I ordered a vodka rebel and they gave me a Sprite in it. Vodka rebel Sprite. I was like, what is this?
They're like, here's a Four Loko. Thank you.
But guys, we're going to be honest. It's been a tough week. We wanted to do kind of a lighter episode. If you listen to the pop culture episode, we do touch on Kyle Marissa there. And, you know, we know she'd be listening and laughing. So, yeah.
She would have loved this episode.
And just thank you guys. And we hope you have a great rest of your week.
Bye.